Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 9.
Jednom davno, kraju Tonapada, že je milavo sina Suruči, utomu, držeći ga na krilo. Dhruva Maharaj je takođe pokušao da se popne na krajivo krilo, ali ga kralj nije baš srdačno dočekao.
Okay. So no purport. So now
Tata cirkishmanam tam sapatnyashtanayam dhruvam suruche shinvato ragya shershyam ahatigarvita. Dok je dieti Dhruva Maharaj pokušavao da se popne na krilo svoga oca, njegova pomajka Suruči je postala veoma zavidna na dijete i sa velikim ponosom je počela govoriti tako da ju je mogao čuti i sam kraj. Smisao. Kraj je naravno bio jednako privržen objici sinova i utami i druvi, i tako je prirodno bio sklon da uzme i druve na svoje krilo kao i utama. Ali zbog svoje pristrasnosti prema krajici Suruči, nije mogao srdačno dočekati Dhruva Maharaju, uprkos svojim osećanjima. Suruči je shvatila krajeva osećanja i zato je sa velikim ponosem počela da govori o krajivoj privržnosti prema njoj. To je priroda žene. Ako žena shvati da je muževa ljubimica i da joj je on posebno privržen, ona će to preterana iskoristavati. Ovi simptomi su uočljivi. Čak i u tako visokom društvu kao što je prorodica Svayambhuva Manuva. Stoga možemo zaključiti da je ženska priroda prisutna svuda.
Now I need the translation. Okay. So this story of Dhruva Maharaj is very interesting. So here we see King Uttanapada, and he has his son Uttama on his lap. And Dhruva, he also wanted to sit on the king's lap. But Suruchi says, no, you can't do that. Because she was the favorite queen of the king. So Dhruva went to his mother, Suniti, and his mother saw he was very angry. And Dhruva explained to his mother what happened. And he wanted revenge. So he wanted to, his mother Suniti said, well, you can pray to the Lord. And Dhruva said, where is he? And she said, the great sages, they go to the forest to find him. So Dhruva decided to go to the forest and find the Lord. So when he went to the forest, he found Narada Muni. And Narada Muni said, oh, why are you in the forest? You're just a little boy. And Dhruva said, I'm going to find Krishna. And Narada said, no, you shouldn't do that. You're just a little boy. You should go home. And Dhruva said, I know you're giving me good advice, but I'm a Kshatriya, and Kshatriyas are very proud. So I don't want to go home. I want to find Krishna. And I want to ask him for a kingdom greater than my father's kingdom. So Narada Muni could see he was very sincere. So he told him, well, you go into the forest and you chant the mantra that I give you. And then you will see Krishna. So, Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest and he began to chant the mantra that Narada Muni gave him. And he also began to fast. In the beginning, he was eating some leaves. And then he began to drink only water. And finally, he was only breathing air. And in the end, Lord Vishnu appeared to him and gave him a benediction. He got a kingdom, the greatest kingdom in the world. But Dhruva understood he said, I'm very sorry that I prayed to you for this kingdom. The most important thing is love for you, not any kingdom. So Dhruva became a very famous devotee. So when did these pastimes take place and where did they take place? First, we'll talk about when they took place. So first we have to know what time it is. Yes. Yes. It's 8:30. Yes, so it's 8:30 on April 14th. The year 2007 in the Kali Yuga of the 28th Yuga cycle, in the 7th Manvantara period of the first day in the second half of the life of Lord Brahma. So Brahma has, this is the first day of the 51st year of Lord Brahma's life. So it's Brahma's birthday. And he's having a party. And it lasts for 4,320,000,000 years. because each day of Brahma, it lasts that long. And then it's followed by a night of Brahma, also 4,320,000,000 years. And he lives for 8 complete day of Brahma is 8,640,000,000 years. So then each month of Brahma is made of 30 such days. And then there are 12 months make 1 year. And then he lives for 100 of such years. So it's about 311 trillion years. Now, each day of Brahma is called a kalpa. So he lives for 36,000 kalpas. Okay, so we're in the first kalpa of his 51st year. So the kalpa is divided into 14 manvantara periods. And we're now in the 7th kalpa, the 7th manvantar. We're now in the 7th manvantar period, the Vaivasvata manvantar period. But the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj take place in the first manvantar period, the Swayambhuva manvantar period. So So we're now here in the seventh kalpa, seventh manvantara period. And Dhruva was in the first. So that's about 2 billion years ago. So that's when the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj took place. You know, in the Swayambhuva Manvantara period, at the beginning of the kalpa. So then, where did the pastimes of Dhruva take place? The forest that Narada Muni sent Dhruva to is Madhuvan. So Madhuvan is in the Vraj Mandal. Vrindavan is here. And this is Mathura. And then this is Madhuvan. So this is the forest where Dhruva Maharaj was meditating in the Swayambhuva Manvantara period 2 billion years ago. Billion, yes. So, the Madhuvan is still there today. And it's a very beautiful place with nice trees and flowers. It's one of the nicest places in Vrindavan. And in this Madhuvan, there's a temple of Dhruva Maharaj. And these are the deities in the temple. This is Krishna in his Narayan form. And this is Narada Muni. And then this is Dhruva. And you can see here it says Dhruva Ji. And this is Dhruva Maharaj. It's a very nice deity. And there's another place in Vrindavan, near the Yamuna River, where he was also meditating. It's called Dhruva Ghat. And this is Dhruva Ghat here. And this is Yamuna. And then there's a small hill called Dhruva Tila. And then there's a temple to Dhruva on the top of the hill. And there's a murti of Dhruva Maharaj there also. And there he is. So, and this is from the temple looking at the Yamuna. Have any of you been there? You've been. Okay. So, I just wanted to show you those pictures. You know, because we're speaking about, you know, Dhruva Maharaj today. Yeah, it's very nice to go to Vrindavan and see these places. and see the deities of Dhruva Maharaj. So we want to follow the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He was very determined in his devotional service. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Krishna says that one must perform devotional service with great determination. So Dhruva did that. Of course, in the beginning, he had some material desire. But the Vedas say, akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo daridi tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha puman. Devotional service should be performed whether one has material desires, no material desires. It doesn't make any difference. The best thing is to perform devotional service to Krishna. Because Krishna will do one of three things. He'll fulfill the desire in a spiritual way, or he'll take away the desire, or he'll replace the desire with a spiritual desire. So in the purport, says, if a woman understands that her husband regards her as a favorite and is especially affectionate to her, she takes undue advantage. This is not just women. If, you know, one son understands that the father likes him better than the other sons, he'll take advantage also. So this is the nature of material life. Everyone is trying to get some position superior to others. So that one can take advantage of that position somehow or other. You know, for example, in political life, this happens. There may be some powerful political leader, and some politicians, they will try to become the favorite of this leader. And if they can become the favorite of the big politician, then they can take advantage of the situation. They can help their friends, they can punish their enemies. So in the material world, everyone serves more, tries to serve more powerful personalities so that they can get some advantage. Those who are more powerful, they actually like this. They know, yes, this person is serving me with some motive. But they think, yes, I know he's serving me with some motive, but I can use him for this purpose or that purpose. So in the material world, service is also there. But both the master and the servant, they have some material motivation. And they create very bad situations. So in devotional service, we're also serving, but the servant is not serving for some material motivation. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhagavad bhaktir hoitiki tvai. So Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating the mood of a servant. He's saying, I don't want anything from you, Krishna. I just want to serve you lifetime after lifetime. So the servant of Krishna doesn't want anything in return for his service. And Krishna, he doesn't have any motive in taking the service. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulence. He doesn't need anything from the conditioned souls. He's only acting for their benefit. But even if we have some material desire, we learn from this example of Dhruva Maharaj that the best thing is to go to Krishna, even for the satisfaction of these desires. Okay, how long does the class go to? No, but normally. Normally till 9. Okay. So, I will stop here. Does anybody have any question or comments? Either about this, first about this, the class, but then if nobody has any question about that, you can ask other things. So something about this, yes? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I only know from Guru Shastra and Sadhu. So I would have to look at the story very carefully and see if there's any information there. But we know even Maharaj Sukadev Goswami, he stayed in the womb longer than normal. So there are cases where great persons, they remain in the womb longer than normal time, the normal time. I know from the story of Shukadev Goswami that's possible. And this story of Hiranyakashipu, I would have to read it again. But what did the other god brothers and sannyasis say? Okay. So you get the prize for the question. The question nobody can answer. No, I know you don't. Yeah, there are others too. But yeah, at least with Shukadev Goswami, we know that that's possible. So, but maybe I'll have time to look at it when I'm here. I can see if there's anything I can say about it. Anything else? Yes. Yes. When we say unmotivated, we mean without material motivation. Of course, in the beginning of our devotional service, we may not be pure devotees without material motivation. But yeah, if we follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, those material motivations, they'll gradually become purified. And as far as spiritual motives, yes, they can be there. We're not impersonalist. Like the impersonalists, they try to make everything zero. But yeah, the devotees, they have a positive desire to please Guru and Krishna. So they don't extinguish desire. They desire for Krishna, for Guru, And that's good. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, so the first question is, why did Krishna send Dhruva Maharaj a spiritual master? Actually, his mother was like his spiritual master, because she advised him to go search for Krishna. See, at first, he was just angry. He just wanted revenge against his stepbrother and his stepmother. And he just wanted revenge against his father, too. Yeah, because he wanted a kingdom greater than his father's kingdom. Greater than his grandfather's kingdom. Yeah, his grandfather is Swayambhuva Manu. And so I think why Krishna sent him, Narada Muni, is because he was searching for Krishna for his material desire. Say, if he had just remained in the palace and started making some plot to poison his stepmother or poison his brother or something, then I think Krishna wouldn't have helped him. But he went to his mother, and his mother said, yes, for these things, you have to find Krishna. So he asked, where is Krishna? She said, in the forest. So she was like his guru. A shiksha guru. So I think because he was following her advice to search for Krishna, then Krishna helped him. Now, when do the material desires turn to spiritual desires? For Dhruva, it happened when he saw Krishna. And then he just saw how wonderful Krishna is. And he understood this is the actual goal. Not to see Krishna to get something from Krishna, but just to see Krishna. So when he saw Krishna, then he understood his other desire was very insignificant. He said, like broken glass compared to diamonds. So, I think for Dhruva, it happened when he saw Krishna. Now, because he asked for those things, he had to get them. You know, he had to be a king of a great kingdom, and because he wanted revenge against his stepmother and stepbrother, they both died. So we have to be careful what we pray for, because we may get it. Yes. Yes, it's causeless mercy. But also he did follow his mother. And she must have been some kind of devotee, because she advised him to go to Krishna. So yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. You know, if you please the guru, you please the devotee, then Krishna becomes pleased. I think it's important that he followed his mother's advice. Later, Prabhupada mentions she was like his guru. And when Dhruva went back to the, went to the spiritual world in the Vimana, he brought his mother with him and another Vimana. And Prabhupada comments there that sometimes the disciple, you know, delivers the guru even. So I think part of the story of why Krishna gave his mercy to Dhruva Maharaj is because he followed his Shiksha Guru, his mother, Suniti. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. yes. So when I said replace, I meant, say if you have desire to dress yourself very nicely, then Krishna may change that to a desire to dress Krishna very nicely. So that's what I meant by replacing the desire. Then also, sometimes Krishna fulfills the material desires in dreams. Yeah, that's coming, I think, later in the fourth canto. Narada Muni explains that. So, so Krishna, he understands we're not pure devotees in the beginning. So he lets us satisfy our material desires in a certain way. Like according to his directions. And if we do that, then gradually the desires will become purified. So, but when I said, you know, change, you know, substitute the desire, that's what I meant. Like, we have some desire and then Krishna gives us another desire. Something else? Yes. Yes. But ultimately it's Krishna's mercy. You know, he I mean, there's very little we can do to change ourselves. You know, artificially. But the holy name is very powerful. You know, prasadam's very powerful. You know, the deities are very powerful. You know, they can, by their mercy, they can awaken spiritual desires in us and take away, you know, the material desires or transform them. That's Krishna's mercy. So if he sees we have desire, like if we desire to change our desires, then he can do that. Really, the material desires are perversions of spiritual desires. As we have a pleasure-seeking nature, you know, anandamaya vyasat. By nature, we're looking for ananda. So by nature, we are sat-chit-ananda. We desire to be secure in our existence. You know, many people are not secure in their existence. You know, they are afraid that they're going to lose their life. You know, lose their possessions. But as pure spiritual beings, we're eternal. So, sat. There's the sat feature of our existence. And that comes from Krishna's Sandini potency. So we have that potency, the Sandini potency. And then, you know, people, they want to know, they have desire to know. You know, there's so many newspapers, televisions, you know, like, and people want to know. I was talking with the publisher of my books here. And he was giving me a ride from the airport. And he said, the problem is people want to know the wrong things. He said, they want to know what is happening with Anna Nicole Smith. It's like some, you know, American lady who was married to some billionaire. Yeah. And he said, everybody wants to know about her. And I said, even in Croatia? He said, yes. So people, they want to know things. And they're always afraid they don't know enough. You know, if they don't know enough, then they'll be cheated. They'll suffer in some way. So they have desire to get knowledge. But the kind of knowledge they get simply increases their suffering. But as devotees, we get the right kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. It's part of our nature. Because there's sat chit. Sat chit means knowledge potency. So we get proper knowledge through Krishna's samvit potency. And then we have desire for happiness and pleasure. So Krishna gives us some of his Hladini Shakti. And if we give it back to him, then he gives us more. So Ananda Buddhivardhanam, increasing ocean of pleasure. But if we direct that pleasure potency away from Krishna, and we try to use it for our own selfish purpose, then it becomes a source of suffering. But the solution is to turn it back to Krishna. Turn the desire for pleasure, for happiness, to service to Krishna. It's the same desire. In one case, it's perverted desire. So the solution is not to eliminate the desire, but to purify it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.